And Sylvia is now going to bring us our scripture readings.
We have two readings from scripture this morning. First one, Psalm 23. Then I'll go straight into John 10, 6 to 16. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Thanks be to God.
Well, this must surely be the most well-known psalm of all. I think no prizes for guessing that today. Certainly it's the favourite of many. I guess part of its charm is its contrasts. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it, but the imagery covers so much of human life, doesn't it? You've got the indoor scene of the feasting, the outdoor scene of the sheep and the shepherds at the beginning, of peace and of peril, of the valley of challenge and difficulties, and yet he restores my soul. So you get these contrasts as we go through. And it's begins with a sevenfold activity of God, doesn't it? And the new NIV brings that out rather well with its straight sentences. He makes, he leads, he restores, he guides, he's with us, he prepares a table, he anoints, and so on. The Lord is with us. And that's why when I gave the title today, I simply said the Lord is and put a lot of dots after it, because that's the key, isn't it? It's all about the Lord and who he is today. And in a way, verse 1 sets the tone for the rest of the psalm. I mean, if, you know, the rest of the psalm was the sermon, you could argue that verse 1 is the key bits of it. It begins with the Lord, so it's God first. The Lord is. God is first. He is my shepherd. So it's about a relationship with him. Lots of metaphors in the New Testament talk about our relationship, particularly in the Psalms. But this is the best one of all because it is so relational. The shepherd looks after the sheep. So it's God first, our relationship with him, and then his provision. I lack nothing, or I shall not want, as the older versions had it, with food celestial feedeth, as we sung much earlier on in The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. It's about spiritual food that God feeds us in our relationship with him. So it's God first, our relationship, and his provision for each one of us, his spiritual provision for our spiritual lives today. That's what the psalm is seeking to tell us. The psalm is all about God then and his presence with us, because that's the key. And the psalm talks about this in three ways. First of all, we get his presence in the good times, and that comes pretty early on in verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. It's the picture of the shepherd and sheep imagery. You can almost picture the scene. It's idyllic, isn't it? As far as sheep would be concerned, there's this lovely, lush grass, not a rather better than the sort of rather browny stuff we have around at the moment outside and in our gardens. The lush green grass and the sheep feeding, a scene of great contentment, of peace and of joy. The quiet waters, plenty of the lovely brook dripping along, and they can, you know, drink of the water of the brook. And more importantly, the shepherd is there to watch over them. You can sort of conjure up the scene in your mind. And the sheep need the shepherd. Sheep are fairly foolish creatures and really do need someone watching over them. It's a picture of us so often. But it's a wonderful, ideal scene. And that imagery, you know, is carried through, of course, into the New Testament, isn't it? In John. And that's why I got Sylvia to read the passage for us today, where Jesus picks up the idea of shepherd, of course, from the Old Testament, and brings it into the New Testament, and picks up the idea of the sheepfold. And in the summer, the sheep would go out away from the villages, probably, and their village would, people would have a few sheep each, and a village would share the sheepfold. And at night, one of the shepherds, there may have been several in the village, one from each family possibly with their own sheep, would lay over the door. They were the door of the sheep. The door of the sheepfold was the shepherd and kept the wolves out, and so on. And the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. So when in the morning the four or five or however many shepherds there were came, they would call out their own sheep by name. That's the background to what was read to us early on. Whoever enters through me will be saved, writes Jesus. They will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is taking up this theme of shepherd and sheep and bringing it much into the New Testament for us. He's the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep, and Jesus laid down his life for each one of us. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And again, I lay down my life for the sheep. And so this idea of Psalm 23 and in other places is taken up again in the New Testament, not only for just Jesus take it up, but when Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he takes it up when he talks to the elders. You remember he summoned the elders of the Ephesian church to Miletus. He was on his way back in Acts chapter 20 to Jerusalem. And this tremendous speech is recorded for us. Didn't take long, so obviously it's only a summary of what he said, but it's the only speech, I think, addressed to church leaders in the New Testament. And there he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock for which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and will not spare the flock." And you get the picture then, the flock of God as the church of God. And that image is taken up a good many times through the New Testament as well. And the wolves hovering around the flock, and the shepherds, the under-shepherds, the leaders of the church, watching over the flock of God. But it comes down to us too, doesn't it? We have a pastoral care team here, don't we? And the idea is that we bring down pastoral care. It isn't just about the leaders of the church watching over the flock. We have a pastoral care team. But actually, it's down to all of us in the end, isn't it? Our Baptist forefathers used to talk about watching over one another in love. Now, that phrase doesn't actually occur in the New Testament, I don't think, but the sentiment is there everywhere, that we watch over one another. Our individual responsibility is to be a shepherd. Our individual responsibility is to watch over those whom God has allowed us to watch over. We do it in house groups, don't we? Well, I hope we do. That's part of the plan of having house groups, isn't it? That we should get to know each other and watch over each other to some extent. And so there's this, the shepherd image is brought down in the New Testament through Jesus, through the leaders, through our pastoral care team, hopefully, and down to each one of us as we seek to exercise that pastoral care. His presence then is available, isn't it? Even in the good times. What good times they were, as far as those sheep were concerned, in Psalm 23. Nothing disturbed them. What a wonderful time it was. And yet, you know, in the good times, we can forget God, can't we? Well, if you don't, I think I do. We somehow, things are going along. Things are moving fairly swimmingly, you might say. But yeah, we can forget God. We put God a bit on the back burner. And so sometimes, I lead into my next point, we know his presence in the challenging times. There are the good times. We can enter that little bit of forgetfulness, I think. But his presence comes too in the challenging times. And that, of course, comes particularly in verse 4 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You noticed in the reading, did you, which of course was from the 2011 NIV, the revised one, that the valley of the shadow of death has disappeared, and you now have darkest valley. And there's a reason for that. It's the most accurate translation. The word in the Hebrew is used about 20 times in the Old Testament, and always with the sense of deep darkness or deep troubles or something like that. Occasionally, it is used to bring death in, and that would be obvious from the context in one or two places out of the 17 or 20, I think it is, but not here. There is no reason why you should translate the valley of the shadow of death particularly. It is the darkest valley. For some, that may not be the shadow of death, but the darkest valley is something that we all can face. And so in our new NIV, you have a little mark where it says darkest valley, and it takes you to the bottom, and it says or valley of the shadow of death, but I'm sure they've got it right here. Deep darkness. Plenty of crises of life come to all of us. We are not immune from the crises of life. We live in a sinful world, a world of wickedness, a world where God is ignored. There will be challenges that will come to all of us. But what does the verse say? You are with me. That's the important bit, that whatever the challenges are, God is with us. He is the shepherd. He's still there. He was there in the good times. He'll be there for us in the difficult times. And he's there with us. Your rod and your staff. The rod of discipline, helping the sheep, but disciplining them, and then the staff of help. And sometimes the challenges of life come to us. God wants to strengthen our faith, and so sometimes discipline comes in for us. And that's a fairly big theme in the New Testament. It's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 12, the very famous verses about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you know, running with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. And then immediately there's a change of context. God will discipline those. And why does he discipline us? So that we may grow in his holiness. Really interesting. We always quote the first bit of the chapter, and we rarely creep into the second. But you get that phenomenal contrast. Bang, it seems that the wonder of the first three verses has somehow disappeared. But it's all about the same, isn't it? We are, in that, running with perseverance. That's what it's involved with, that discipline of God for holiness in our lives. And that's what God is saying to us here. Sometimes these things come on us, and God intends it to be, to deepen our faith, to deepen our walk with him. We're not exempt with life from life's problems, but we have a great advantage over other people. We have the God of heaven with us as our shepherd, leading, guiding, directing us, disciplining us too along the way. So we have his presence in the good times, his presence in the challenging times, but thirdly, finally, we have his rich presence at all times. And the scene changes. Once again, the scene was changed, as the old song has it. And we disappear from the sheep and shepherd imagery, and we go into the imagery of the Eastern feast. Feasting at a table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the picture is of the rich, friendly, Middle Eastern meal table. A picture of greater intimacy than the sheep and shepherd image. My father worked for Shell Petroleum for the whole of his life, practically. That's when he wasn't winning the war. But after that, he started with Shell and stayed with them until he retired. And after the war, they decided that he would be involved in Shell operations in the Middle East. It was a waste of time because they moved him soon afterwards to South America, where he he stayed for the rest of his life, but that's another story. But he went on a six-month jaunt around the Middle East, and Shell had a lot of oil interest then. And he was told before he went, you'll be visiting Eastern sheikhs. This is 60 years ago, remember, times have changed. And they will entertain you in their tents. And he was told very clearly, you will eat whatever is put before you. Yes. Whether you like the look of it or not, and sometimes you won't. And if you find it so revolting you start burping, he said, let them hear it, because they're keen to hear that you've actually enjoyed the food. Sounds ridiculous to us, doesn't it? But that's the way it was. And some of that, the biblical sort of hospitality that we see in this passage, is still there today. And it's to eat at someone's table in New Testament times created a bond of loyalty and affection. And that's why my father was out there to sort of, you know, breathe the good news of Shell everywhere he went, and so on. And so we have this lovely picture before us of that Eastern meal table, a place of fellowship where we can have fellowship with God. I will dwell in the house of God forever. That, for David, was where God was, the temple. For us, that temple is in our hearts, isn't it? That's where God is dwelling today. That's where we know his presence today in our lives. So we know his presence in the good times. We know his presence in the challenging times. And we can know his presence at all times in that rich way as we fellowship with him, as we enjoy fellowship with him day by day. And the good news is that that is available to all of us in Christ today. When we come to know him, Jesus hinted at that in the John 10 passage, didn't he? I'm giving my life for the sheep. And Jesus gave his life for each one of us. He died upon a cross that we can know forgiveness of sins. And that's where our faith comes in. We need to believe in that cross, believe what Jesus has done for us. And as we are believers day by day, we can continue to enter into all that Jesus has for us. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you today for Psalm 23, a reminder of the good times, the challenging times, but through all the times, your presence as our loving shepherd is with us. And for Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, we thank you, Father, today. We thank you for our deep relationship with him. We've come out of the Old Testament, where people could know a relationship with you in a way, and we've come into a Holy Spirit-led and guided and blessed New Testament relationship in Christ that is available for each one of us. And so we bless you for the depths of that fellowship that we can enjoy today. May it be true for each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.